Chapter 8, Summary.
And one final comment from our peer reviewer, Dr. Jacobson, who's been so wonderful in listening to all of this and making sure we're not teaching you something wrong. She wanted to stress that in emergency medicine, we often think of patients as either being sick or not sick. But a lot of HIV patients, a lot of AIDS patients are really young, and sometimes they're otherwise healthy and they may look pretty well. They can tolerate a more severe illness without looking really ill. So just be careful. Someone who is HIV positive and young could still have something really bad going on. So thanks so much to Dr. Kathleen Jacobson for her very valuable input.
So how does one summarize all this? It's huge, it's big, it's large. This is a complicated topic, but remember that basically you get infected with HIV. Your tests become positive about 3 to 8 weeks later. If untreated, years later, you become significantly immune suppressed. CD4 counts drop below 200 is very severe infection, which puts the patient at risk for a multitude of infections and cancers. Some of the most common ones in the brain are toxoplasmosis, ring-enhancing lesions, cryptococcal meningitis, slow meningitis, headaches, very bad over time, lymphomas, Kaposi sarcoma. In the lung, we think about all the usual stuff, but also PCP, pneumocystis jirovecii, dry cough, shortness of breath, high LDH, and tuberculosis, big-time tuberculosis. Any eye changes in vision, blurriness, you got to think about there's viruses in there, things like CMV, things like herpes viruses. The GI tract, some of the big ones, as they can get esophageal candidiasis, can be very severe, can even rupture. Candidiasis anywhere is a problem, but the GI tract candidiasis can be quite bad. And Kaposi sarcoma can occur in the GI tract and can give you GI bleeding. They're also at risk for things like acalculus cholecystitis, and a number of the drugs in particular can produce things like stones, renal stones. They can produce things like pancreatitis and just straight up lactic acidosis. And of course, a host of other medication side effects. Post-exposure prophylaxis is really important. There are some patients that absolutely should get it, but there are some really great calculators that can help you and the patient decide how high a risk they are and if it is worth doing. I really suggest that you use those. And of course, as in all of emergency medicine, your initial assessment is sick or not sick. If sick, these people are at risk for lots of things. Resuscitate, admit, do your cultures, start your meds, get some help. But they're also very complicated and sometimes not so sick. In those circumstances, touching base with their primary care doctor, their HIV doctor, is key. A lot of this management can be done as an outpatient. For example, sort of the chronic diarrheas. You can't really fix the chronic diarrheas in the emergency room. Make patients feel better, start things going. But often these are complicated issues which can't be dealt with in a couple of hours in the emergency department. The story of HIV is a fascinating one. It's a tragic one. I've had friends, colleagues, many patients die from this disease, but I am excited by the fact that now, if we aggressively treat early and for long enough, we can really control this disease. It becomes a chronic disease, much like diabetes. And there's even these really rare circumstances, which maybe we're going to hear more and more about, that the viral load goes to zero, the patient comes off the meds, and it doesn't come back. That's exciting. We've come a long way.